T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Alrighty then, Steelers 24, Colts 17. Another Monday Night Football win for Mike Tomlin. Best Monday Night Football record by a coach in NFL history. Another Monday Night Football factoid. The Steelers tie the 49ers for the most wins in Monday Night Football history. So congratulations on all their team success. And now they've won 8 in a row against the Colts. It's also Kenny Pickett's first road victory, and there will be many of those, Chris, especially with the way our guy, Kenny effing Pickett, came through in the fourth quarter of that game. How you like that, Donnie Football? You were drinking those rum and cokes, baby. You were making it onto Monday Night Football for less than a second, but still it counts. I've never been on Monday Night Football before, Malzi. Have you?
Matter of time for you. Matter of time, Pony.
Hey, if Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser can get in the booth, how about you and me?
I think you'll make it
there.
How
about Pony and Mueller?
Didn't people hate both of them in the booth, though? I guess we've already got that covered, or at least I do.
Malzi, you sound dour. You sound like you're not hyped about this game.
No, I'm just ready to give an honest, objective analysis of what I saw.
Exactly. That's why they pay us the big bucks, to be honest. So I'll start. A-plus for Pickett.
I give him a B for the whole game. I give him a B.
A B?
I thought it was his best game overall.
A B?
Yeah, a B. Sure.
A B. You must have not listened to Starkey when he said that it was the most accurate performance by a quarterback in maybe Steelers history. You must have toned that out as he walked out the door.
Well, yeah, he threw two balls that were uncatchable, a deep ball to the right out that was way over somebody's head, and then he skipped one in the dirt or the pebble tires. Guys got their hands on other passes, but that doesn't mean they were really good throws.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to really ding them for that, that's grading with the most fine-tooth comb possible.
Well, that's what I do as an objective analyst.
No, and the objective doesn't mean you're harder on Pickett. It means you're equally hard on him.
How did you give him an A-plus if he had incompletions, though?
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that automatically mean he wasn't 100%
so
perfect?
So you have to complete every single one of your passes to get an A-plus from Malzi?
Listen, when I took tests in Catholic school and at Penn State...
Well, that was your mom's teaching
but
system.
But at Penn State, it wasn't my mom's teaching system. It was a public university. A-plus was reserved for a 100% correct rate. If you got a 99, guess what? You got
guess
an
what?
A.
I'm not even grading on a curve with him. I think objectively, for any quarterback to do what he did in that game specifically... to engineer the drive that won the game in the fourth quarter. You came on the air yesterday and I thought did a great job of setting the stage for this game. You're like, look, don't get excited, guys. Don't get your hopes up on Pickett in this game, Pony. This is a tough assignment for him.
I thought he played his best game as a professional. It doesn't equate to an A-plus for me, but I thought he played his best game as a pro.
Yep.
And I thought he made... what could turn out to be, if the rest of this year continues to be a linear set kind of progress for him, linear progression in a good way, like Mike Tomlin expects, I think he and Pickens hooked up on a throw that people are going to cite back if he turns into a star or even a very good quarterback and say, that's maybe where things started to turn.
Now, there were three of those.
There's one. It's 3rd and 9. Yep. They've gone 3 and out twice. On one of those 3 and outs, he did throw the skipper.
Yep.
They are clearly behind the 8-ball momentum-wise.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And he lays one out from the end zone view. It showed it perfectly. He throws a guy open, trusts a guy to make a catch and make a play. They get 13 yards. I don't want to take away from that play by saying, well, he also got hit in the face, so it would have been a 15-yard penalty anyway. He made...
That just made an even better throw that under duress and pressure, he still delivered a perfect ball.
He made a 10 out of 10 throw when they needed one with the looming recent history of having gone completely silent.
Yep.
Last week in the second half. It felt like a seminal moment early in his career.
And I worthy give him of an A-plus on that throw for Chris Muller. That's an
that
A-plus
was an
throw.
A-plus throw. It was not an A-plus game, but it was an A-plus throw.
So, also, you need to account on that play. What Pickens had done the previous plays. He had dropped two in a row from Pickens. So that took guts.
You mean Pickens had dropped two
Pickens
in a row from
Pickens had dropped two in a row from Pickens. I'm going to do that a lot between these two guys. I've
heard it'd be so much easier for you if it was just Montana and Rice.
Aikman was confusing James Pierre and Robert Spillane last night, and he's making a lot more money than me. So if I screw up Pickett and Pickens, my bad.
Who would do the other's job better, Spillane trying to cover people or Pierre trying to tackle
people?
Hey,
Pierre made a hell of a catch last night.
Well, that was probably one
of
the best three catches
of
the night.
That was a heck of an interception. They didn't do anything with it.
I think the reason I don't have him, the reason I have him as a B, the reason I have him as a B, so the catch on the sideline play to Pickens where Pickens drops the ball, I did agree with Joe, it could have been challenged and made a catch. You can make an argument there, although I think they would have upheld the no call.
So do I.
But I don't think that's a bad throw. I think that one's more on Pickens. Secure the ball. I think quarterbacks across the NFL have to throw that ball low and away. You could throw it higher, but you got to throw it low and away. The play I don't like that is going to get credited or dinged to Pickens is you've got him running wide open.
At the end of the first half?
No. It's the one he drops that's similar. Was it at the end of the first half? He drops it in a similar fashion to the sideline ball. He's got to go down on a third down to get it.
That was in the third quarter. That was their second three and out.
So it was part of the three and out. That's right.
That's on Pickens. The ball's right in his hands.
It's on Pickett, too, though, because the ball could have been not thrown a foot off the ground.
But when the wide receiver gets his hands on the ball, and it's not like Sims had to go up for it when it didn't need to be thrown high, and he gets hit and the ball gets knocked out on the first drive of the game. I thought that was more a Pickett error than it was a Sims
drop.
See,
I think both of those are 50-50. You expect even a Steven Sims, if you get both hands on the ball, catch it. I expect
Donnie,
Pickens,
break the
if
tie
you get
here.
The, hold on, if you get both hands on the ball, catch it, throw a better ball.
Right
there was
in
no
his hands.
There was no need for that ball to be a foot off the ground.
I'll break the tie here.
On that particular play, I think Pickens should make the catch. I mean, what we've seen from him so far, I mean, he's already setting a very high bar for himself.
I would blame him more on that play because I have higher standards for him right now than I do for
Pickens. Let me ask you guys both this question.
Like 60-40
the two of you guys,
Pickens.
And I want to get our listeners involved early today at 412-928-9370. If you two guys had NFL MVP votes right now, who would you vote for? Who would be your first pick?
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts? Donnie?
That'd be mine.
Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts went three quarters without a touchdown in Indianapolis. Three. And the funny thing about that is I did not watch that entire game, but because he showed tenacity late in that game and engineering two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter, they only won that game 17-16. He got praised for that.
Thought rushing touchdowns needed to count, which is what he scored
to win
the game.
No, I know.
Aren't you giving him more credit for that?
I'm saying three quarters, they didn't score a touchdown there, Philadelphia. Rushing touchdown, receiving touchdown, offensive touchdown, period. He went 45 minutes plus without scoring there. Who would be second in your MVP voting?
Probably Patrick Mahomes.
Malzi?
Trevor Lawrence, I think, because he scored 27 in a loss in Indianapolis.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
No, but I'm saying he would be second in your MVP voting.
No, but
I'm
just
seven.
No, but I'm not just going to play your little game.
Why
here.
Not?
Because it's
Why
a very
not?
It's a very cherry picked game.
I'm bringing up the two best quarterbacks in the NFL this season and speaking to the challenge of going into Indianapolis and playing well.
Well, wait, you guys didn't even agree with me yesterday because I was the one who was wrong. Because 43% of the people there were Steelers fans, so the cauldron of Indianapolis wasn't such.
No, you said that it was a tough game.
And I was wrong, apparently, because I said the crowd noise would be a factor, but we had a Colts insider say the building's a tomb, and it was almost a 50-50 crowd.
Well,
I was wrong about that.
Regardless of what the crowd looks like at their games, their defense has done a number on great quarterbacks. Mahomes had his lowest passer rating of the season there. They scored 17 points. Pickett had his best passer rating game.
Which is still just an 87.5 rating.
Okay.
That's below league average
this
year.
So you think if without a rookie curve, he had a below average game?
No, I just said he had a B. I'm just telling you the league average passer rating for 2022 is 90.
I think the drive to win the game had all the ingredients and elements of the worst we've seen from Matt Canada as a play caller this year. He overall did not have a horrible game, Canada. Let me start by saying that because I don't want people to say, oh, here you go. You're just, when something works, you're giving Pickett praise, and when something doesn't, you're getting on Canada. I think overall he probably had a pretty good game as an offensive coordinator. But that drive had all of the bells and whistles from the Canada offense that we've come to hate, and Pickett had to overcome that. Like a screen to Zach Gentry that went for negative
yards.
Donnie,
I wanted that to go for a tutty for you. I really wanted to see a Gentry touchdown.
How about shovel pass at the goal line
to Tito?
To Derek Watt? To Tito Watt?
Do we have to call him Tito today, though? He had a crucial third down pickup.
And I didn't know until today that in short yardage situations this year, do you know he's actually 4-for-4?
I actually did know that. He's been automatic.
So...
Listen, the reason I give him a B is this. I put my grades out there to try to, you know, explain myself in real time. B plus first half, because I thought it was about as good as he's looked, which is a B plus for me this year. B minus second half.
Because wait, you thought his second half was worse than his first?
I am grading the entire half. They had 2-3 and outs, which I would put partly on him, throw a little bit better of a ball, more on Pickens, but partly on him.
Yep.
And one stellar drive where he and they kicked ass. His 2-point play to Pickens is my favorite play of the year thus far. He threw the ball back outside before Pickens had done his little move
to
get open.
How about the ball he zipped into Freiermuth on third down?
It was a very good ball. He threw one to Deontay on an out route that was an NFL throw, hitting a guy going upfield. A tough throw. He made multiple tough throws. He played well. But what I am not going to go on this show and do is blow sunshine up everyone's rear ends and say he had an A-plus game.
He did.
He didn't.
So when he performs better against that defense in that building than any quarterback in the league this year, it's not an A-plus performance from
no.
a quarterback. It's not.
No, it's not.
How many balls did he throw that could have been turnovers? How many mistakes did he make where you're like, oh my God.
That's probably the next best thing he did. I didn't have a turnover graded throw there.
Okay.
On the Mulsey football
so
focus.
So he has a clutch fourth quarter drive to win the game mm-hmm. where he did most of the work.
But why were they in a clutch situation at that point? Because they had again gone 3 and out twice to start the second half.
They had 8 plays in the second half. They had 8 plays. They only had 2 full possessions in the second half. One, he did not make a good throw on. I admit that. He was not a good play. And the second one is number one wide receiver dropped the ball. And the reason why his passer rating or QBI isn't higher, QBR isn't higher.
His QBR was good, actually, which reflects fourth
quarter. His passer rating isn't 100 because an $18 million receiver dropped a touchdown pass again, and they ended up running that ball in instead of having a passing touchdown.
He played well. He did not play an A-plus game. He played well. I'm very encouraged by what I saw.
So what would he have needed to do to get an A-plus from Chris?
Go perfect, I guess.
What would he needed to do to get an A?
If he hits Pickens with both of those throws and they don't have 3 and outs, I probably bump him up to an A-. If he makes a better throw to Pickens in the end zone that goes off Pickens' hands, I think he gets into the A-.
So how much of that did you put on Pickett?
I still thought he missed a wide-open throw. Do former players' opinions when they're watching the game count at all?
Sure, of course they do.
Ramon Foster, got to make that throw. Other pros who have played for this franchise who clearly want to see Kenny succeed, got to make that throw.
Yep.
I take their
now,
word.
Now, Orlovsky is saying looks like a franchise quarterback this morning. Where do you come down on that take? Not a B from Orlovsky, franchise quarterback material from Orlovsky.
I'm more encouraged about Kenny Pickett at 2:17 p.m. on November 29th than I was at 8:13 p.m. on November 28th.
And
I'm feeling better about him, but I'm not going to give in to this desire around town and in this room I'm sitting in right now to fawn over everything he does.
It was
as
a fawnable game. It was absolutely a fawnable game.
He threw for 170 yards, and I know his receivers didn't help him, but a fawnable game is 350 yards and kicking ass.
He was the best quarterback in the NFL this week.
By whose rankings?
Pro Football Focus.
When Pro Football Focus tells you that Chooks is a very good tackle this year, which they have said on numerous occasions,
say? That's actually not true.
When they have told you, they have put out rankings that have placed him as having games that you thought sucked and they graded him out well. What then? PFF exists as a lot of things.
He's a 60.9 this year, Chris Tuukka Okorafor.
He has
that's
had
not
games,
good.
He has had games in the 70s where you thought he sucked, and for them, that's an objectively good grade. And 60 for them is actually not a bad grade, technically.
Yes, it is.
They've explained
it's slightly
it to
above
us.
Average at best.
That's not bad.
Okay, it's
by
not
definition,
good.
Above average is better than average.
They said he was better than the 31 other quarterbacks that played this week.
I disagree with that. Just like you've disagreed with it when they've rated a player away that you didn't think was
right. He played the most accurate game of any quarterback in the NFL this week.
So
and
would
he's
you
a
have
rookie.
Taken his game over Jalen Hurts' game on Sunday night?
Yes, as a passer, absolutely I would. Passing grade.
As a passer, what about as a runner?
I thought Pickett did not run for 157 yards like Hurts, but he also extended drives with his feet in this game too.
Would you have taken him over Trevor Lawrence's game?
Yes.
Even with what Lawrence did down the stretch in that game?
Yes, down the stretch. Pickett did the same thing down the stretch.
Lawrence made more big-time throws, big-time throws down the field on that one drive than I think Pickett made in the whole game.
How many bad throws did Pickett have in the fourth quarter?
He didn't have any.
Exactly.
Okay, so now we're just saying because he didn't screw up, it's an A+? What kind of standard are we establishing here?
No, you're doing
here?
The exact opposite. When he plays against an elite pass defense and does better than the two best quarterbacks in the NFL this year on the
road. They're more of an elite run defense than they are a pass defense. They came into the game better on the run than on the pass. They're better than average against the pass, but they're not like awesome.
Well,
and they have the third fewest interceptions as a team in the NFL,
well,
so they're not good at
taking it away. I don't know how in the world they shut down Mahomes and shut down Hurts for almost the entire game.
It's probably
game.
Frank Reich's excellent game plan.
Defensively?
No, just he's just a great coach. Overall, he inspired the team to a great game plan.
Well, he wasn't the coach for the Eagles game, but I guess that would count for the
Chiefs game.
The Chiefs game, yeah.
Man, Davis Mills must be a franchise passer. He tied the Colts. Now,
yes.
Granted, it was in Houston, but he tied the Colts and threw two touchdowns. We might as well put a bust in the Hall of Fame
give
for
a grade
Davis
here.
Mills.
Are you closer to me or Mueller on this?
I got it. You know, I need to light a cigarette in here, Donnie. Do we have rules against that? I just looked back at Davis Mills' stat line, and I am
that's our boy
sweating.
Mills Davis Malzie's right
taking
there.
A page out of, Malzie's taking a page out of the Chris Mack playbook here.
No, I'm not. I have an opinion.
I think I'm going to be closer to Chris here. I'll give Kenny a B+ for last night. So kind of between what you guys have said. A+. That would have resulted in a couple of touchdowns. I know one was on Deontay Johnson. One, I would say, mostly on Kenny for not being a touchdown.
I would say 75-25 Pickett on that throw at the end of the first half.
Yes. And again, that's just because of how...
75-25 Pickett, that, the quarterback.
Correct.
Two pick-ins, right?
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Sure.
Yes. And because of what we've seen from Pickens already this year, I thought he probably could have gone up to get that, but it would have been a very impressive catch. If he gets those touchdowns, which I know both of, well, one of them not in his control because Deontay Dropson showed up at that point in the
Thank
game,
you.
Then I'm definitely giving him an A. I don't know about an A+. But
what if
Freiermuth
actually
looked...
makes a play on the ball two plays before Pickens and scores a touchdown there? How about that?
I mean, that was a good throw, just well defended.
No, Aikman said get back to the ball. That's all on the tight end on that play. That's two plays before the Pickens.
Is Aikman a fully reliable narrator? He's a former quarterback. What if Jay Novacek was on the call and said that's on the quarterback?
What if it was Jay Witten again, who's or Jason Witten back in the booth with new hair, saying he pulled a rabbit out of up his sleeve or whatever stupid malaprops he would do?
I would have liked the scene. I would have liked touchdowns from Kenny, but he was very solid. I'll say that.
If I'm giving him a B and trying to explain it better without having to try to explain why it's not an A+, it's that he looked fully in control of what he was doing the entire game. I do think passes were dropped. Some of them were good throws that were dropped. Some of them were throws that could have been better and might not have been dropped as a result. But they're drops nonetheless to one degree or another. He looked at all times like a guy fully in control of what he was doing, which again was never more evident then on a 3rd and 9 when I think the collective you-know-what here was puckering across town, and he threw a strike with a guy coming at him, hitting him in the face. And if that behind-the-end-zone view there is the best one, he throws that ball to a spot and trusts that that guy's going to be there, and he was.
Where does that play rank for you?
It's a top-5 throw for him this year, given the setting he was in, given what had transpired to that point in the half and what transpired last week in the second half, it's a top-5 play. The number one play of the year for me with him is the two-pointer. He's moving. His eyes are up.
I think it's the everybody, think it's Pickens on third down.
Everybody thinks he's going to run for that two-point conversion. Instead, he and the guy everyone is desperate for him to continue building chemistry with are on the same page, and he throws the ball where only his guy's going to get it. And if he doesn't throw it when he throws it, it gets knocked down. I love that play. That was a great play. But I'm not giving the guy an A+.
Even though he's now gone 100 passes without a turnover, and it wasn't just good luck in this game?
I feel like we've ripped Aaron Rodgers for that before when he will, like, play risk-averse football.
He's Aaron Rodgers! He's Aaron bleeping Rodgers!
No, it's good that he's not turning the ball over. Now the chocolate peanut butter here is continue to not turn the ball over while also throwing more touchdowns.
I thought he did exactly that in this game. I thought he didn't turn the ball over and he didn't play just dink and dunk football. They opened things up with a play action pass under center, which would have never happened last year because Ben refused to do that. And beautiful throw, beautiful catch by Pickens to get 2 feet in bounds. That's a field flipping big play, 35 yards.
Well, if there's one thing I want him to do more of, and it's one thing I will scream about, and I think that they are getting to this point. I do. Kenny Pickett needs to make it his mission every game. I don't care if Deontay Johnson's feelings are hurt. I'm glad we had a classic Deontay takes yardage and then runs it off the play, trying to go, you know, laterally for 50 yards. When George Pickens is one-on-one with somebody, throw George Pickens the ball. When George Pickens is one with two coming over the top to help, throw George Pickens the ball. When George Pickens is open, just lay that ball up there as far as you can and let him run under it. That guy will make Kenny Pickett look better in the short term and be better in the long term.
Although he did have back-to-back drops.
I don't care.
Either did Pickett. He went back to him with the game on
which
the line.
Is the
brilliant.
Point. Which is the point I'm trying to make.
A-plus in the fourth quarter should get him up to a B-plus from Chris Mueller, for crying out loud. You can't even put a plus on that grade? My God, I'd hate to see what you gave Jalen Hurts in India. D-minus? What you give Mahomes, a F-plus? For how they played in those games?
And Mahomes, I probably would have given
Kansas
like
City,
a D-.
17 points and a loss.
Mahomes, I probably would have because he's won a Super Bowl and an MVP award. So, yes, my standards do change. And you might say, well, that means Kenny should get an A+.
Yes.
But you would be inherently admitting that I'd have to grade him on a gentle curve.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You guys ask me that every week. He's getting better every week, and it's in a very natural way because of experience. He's a competitor. He's smart, but it's still a lot of meat on the bone, and it's just the process. But like I always say, he's good enough, and we're good enough to win while that happens. And so we're not grading him or us on a curve. We acknowledge that he's very much in development. You can ask me next week, and I'll tell you he got better in all areas again next week because with each snap becomes exposure and sharp guys that are competitors, they grow from those things.
Tomlin got a little agitated after the game when asked about how Pickett played.
I don't know why he did either. Deion asked him that question. I don't know why he got agitated. Maybe because he knows it's the A1 story and he genuinely is sick of talking about it. What do you think people are going to ask you about after your quarterback gets his first road win on Monday Night Football and puts together a very good drive to do it? What do you think people are going to do? Say, hey, can you start by talking about James Pierre's interception? Can you tell us about Danny Smith's special teams? Actually, he might have liked a question about that so he could rip his special teams.
Why? He's the guy that's employed Danny Smith for the
decade. He would rip the players. It's not the coach's fault, Pony. If the players always change, the coach stays the same, and they're usually pretty bad. It's usually the players' fault.
We get notes from the morning show on how they talk about shows, same talk about games, talk about whatever they did on their show. Same thing with Cook and Joe. We don't for Zeiss's show anymore, or whoever's in for the new and improved night show.
Like the evening show here that follows
us. Yeah, they
just
stop giving us notes
on
that.
Who do you think that's on?
Probably Craig, dropping the ball there. Come on, boss.
Let's
get all the information out. Who was on? What guests were on? What did they talk about? Let's go. Let's get that.
Jablonski.
Jablonski was front and center in a couple interviews. He's right next to George Pickens last night. He was on ESPN.
You did it again.
George Pickens. I know. If I do it, well, I'm not going to. Maybe a fine jar or something? Is that kind of trite or rote to have?
No, because you'll start doing it on purpose and then reveal that the whole point of the fine jar is for you to buy your way out of getting your balls kicked. Which, by the way, has a better chance of not happening after this win. That's why you're probably giving out A-pluses, because those testicles feel a little safer today.
So that gets me to this point. Apparently, the morning show at 6 a.m., before anybody was up this morning, asked the question, what if this is Kenny Pickett? What if Kenny is never the best player on the team? Here's a question. Name me a Steeler player who was better than him last night.
Benny Snell football.
From start to finish.
I could say Benny Snell football, I think.
If Benny Snell had done that for four quarters and Harris hadn't gotten hurt right before halftime, if he had started the game, like if he does that against Atlanta because Najee's out and gives you that for 60 minutes, I might agree with you. Yeah.
I would actually say something that's interesting about the what if so-and-so is never the best player on the team. How often could you fully say that about Ben, even in his prime, because they had so much skill talent around him? You could make an argument like AB is objectively the best player.
A wide receiver didn't have a game like that for them last night. We went through Pickens' drops. He only caught three balls. An offensive lineman didn't bathe himself in glory. Definitely not the left tackle.
So you think it's an unfair question to ask based on generally?
I think last night Kenny was their best player.
I'm just trying to think if I would disagree with it. I thought they had a bunch of guys give good performances. It was like a collection of good, solid performances. So, yeah, if you weight the quarterback's performance heavier, I'd probably agree with you. I actually think, though, I guess Colin asked the question. I do think it's an interesting question. Can they win big with him being a good to very good quarterback but never being Patrick Mahomes for the purposes of
this
discussion?
Well, isn't that what's going on in Miami right now? Isn't that the same?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill's the best player on that team. But they also don't have Mike McDaniel scheming things up where guys are running 20 yards open.
Well, right,
on every
that gets
play.
Back to what I said about Pickett in the fourth quarter. Canada was trying to come up with plays. He likes coming up with plays that make him look like the reason why the plays are working or why the offense is working. Shovel pass to Watt, screen to Gentry.
I mean, aren't those just good plays, though, if they work? Like, it's not, hey, Matt Canada is using play. He just called this play, and yeah, it worked, but that's because he wants to look smart. Well, if plays work, they just work.
Hold on a second, though. Do you think it's smart offensive football to scheme the ball to, like, your tertiary offensive players late in games?
I think Matt Canada, I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's intentionally bad. I don't think it's bad because I think anybody would tell you sometimes the best play call is going where they least expect it to go.
But we've seen their screens work for two years.
You've watched the Steelers as long as
I'm saying under Canada.
They haven't been able to run screen passes for like a decade.
Well, right, but that's not on him. I'm talking about with him.
I think he occasionally tries to get too cute, but I'm going to stop myself from going too far down that road because I tried to obliterate him for the flea flicker.
It turns out
that the flea flicker was a good call in Cincinnati.
Here is Joe on the fan. Hello, Joe.
How you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, question. You kind of answered my question. If Najee Harris didn't get hurt and Benny Snell got less snaps, do you think the Steelers still would have won?
If Najee's in the game for Snell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Leave with that.
Yeah, I think they still win. Why? You don't?
I think Benny Snell is a much better running back than Najee. He finds the holes. He powers through.
You think he's a much better running back?
This year I do, yes.
Well, and that's the first time he carried the ball all year.
That's the first time he played all year. Other than special teams.
Look what he did last night.
So you've been telling...
I think Najee's averaged like 100 yards a game the last two games.
So Joe and McMurray has been telling his buddies all year that Snell should be their lead running back?
No, I just think they would have still won if Najee was in for the snaps last night.
Well, was their offense okay? Let me ask you a question.
Didn't Benny Snell get like blown up in pass protection too?
Hold on a second. Was their offense better in the first half or the second half of the game?
I think the first half.
Okay, who played running back for the first half?
Najee.
Thank you.
They come in all shapes and sizes on this show.
Well, hold on a second. It's supposed to.
Donnie, you got to. Yeah, give us the song here, Donnie. Do you have it?
I was going to play it whenever we came back.
If you have it right now, you can play
some. Well, I'll have to reel it up here in a minute.
I think I have it.
But I also bet on the guy who just scored that goal, baby.
Oh, what a shot.
Our boy, Christian Pulisic.
He looked like he was. Yeah, he's hurt, though. He's hurt, man. He's in the goal right now. They're attending to him.
Goal, United States.
He's banged up.
Let's get to the part we like.
But isn't the build up to this what makes it good?
There it is. All right, 1-0 USA. That's big because I think our problem, not someone that eats, drinks, and breathes soccer, is that we were pretty limited offensively.
Is this Team USA's coach the bald dude?
Yes.
He kind of looks like Matt Canada.
He does.
Me.
So you're saying you look like Matt Canada?
I mean, in passing, we're bald guys that people don't
like. I think you look more like Mike Trout or that old Ohio State center.
Billy Price, who isn't very good at football, is the guy I look the most like.
All right, first guy out of the box says Benny Snell is the Steelers' best running back. So that's where we've set the bar for our callers today.
Not only that, he really wanted to make the point that Benny Snell is getting a raw deal here.
412-928-9370. Let's see if Steve can do better. Hi, Steve.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, I think Kenny played great last night. I mean, he's been trending in the right direction the last three games. No picks versus starting off throwing picks just way more frequently. So, I mean, that was a huge plus for me. So I kind of want to tie in some college football here. Just stay with me here. I'm a huge South Carolina Gamecocks fan. I'm an alum. We got a big win this past weekend, so I'm pumped about that. What if, because of Kenny's ascension and him getting more comfortable in the offense and the offense doing very well, we have some favorable matchups coming up against, the Ravens, which are giving up a lot of passing yards as far as the secondary.
Okay.
The Raiders.
South Carolina player do you want the Steelers? What South Carolina player do you want the Steelers to draft?
If he enters the draft, Jaheim Bell, tight end. But I'd probably say he's a better Connor Hayward.
All right, thank you. So we've got two calls in. Guy wants to argue for the Steelers drafting a South Carolina tight end.
And a guy saying Benny Snell has been getting a raw deal.
Donnie, did you have a feeling that when you screened these calls, this was the direction this was going to go in?
No, especially that last one.
I mean,
I love draft ideas, but...
Yeah, I thought there were other guys on South Carolina that were draftable players.
What's happening here?
Yeah, I don't know. He was like, Kenny was great. Anyway, South Carolina's my squad. They had a big upset over Clemson, and I think you should draft a couple of the players.
Hey, I actually thought he was going to go down the Spencer Rattler.
That's where I thought it was going, too. Like, yeah, Kenny played great, but Spencer Rattler looks like his draft stock's back on the rise. What if he's available? Like, would you take him?
Well, before last season, Spencer Rattler
was
thought of as a much better prospect.
He was presumptive top five pick, yeah.
All right, here's Rob on the fan. Hello, Rob.
Don't earn that 9 yards.
Rob, what's up, man? Long time no speak. How you doing, brother?
What's up, fellas? Hope you're both well. You guys are the cornerstone of the station.
Let me just, before you make your point, let me just let everybody know, Robin North for Sales is a day one 93.7 The Fan listener. The Fan would not have been as successful.
He's a cornerstone of the fans' fans.
If not for people like Robin North
Correct.
For Sales. So
he's
whenever you call Rob,
he's a foundational
you get
piece.
Right there to the front of the line. How you doing, pal?
Doing well. Kenny played well. He's progressing. He did what the Steelers are accustomed to having with their quarterback. Get enough done in the fourth quarter to win the game. The defense held him. He used all his weapons with Deontay having the most targets. And then he spread the ball around even the guys I didn't know were on the roster, like Cody White.
You know what I thought he did? You know what was the little subtle stuff I thought he did well? I look at that
But not great. Gotta
yeah,
stop
well.
It well.
Yeah, well. I'm an honest broker. Like when I say somebody's, when I reserve great for things and people I really respect. I think Pony is a great radio host.
All right, here we go now.
I think Donnie is a great Pittsburgh guy. Just a great, true Pittsburgh
How
man.
How about a great rising, emerging talent in this business? But Why is he just a great guy?
But his talent is inextricably tied to how much he connects with our audience, like the Robs in North Versailles. I thought it was a good game. What I thought was better about this game, there are still a missed throw here, some drops there, whatever. But there were more of the little in-between plays that, like, we didn't have to just seize on as, oh my God, thank God. Like the Freiermuth 17-yarder, just a very good throw that has made it into our discourse today, but is not like the focal point. There were more plays to choose from that were very likable plays from him than I've seen all year. More throws where I was like, that kicked ass. That is good. That is like a franchise caliber quarterback play than I've seen. That's why I'm encouraged.
Jeff is next. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you been?
Jeff!
That was a great game last night. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going to say that... as far as grading Kenny, I'm going to give him a B plus as well. I can't give him an A plus. I agree with Mulsey on this. That, you know, it's got to be a game where you throw two or three touchdowns and, you know, is absolutely 100% dominating a good defense. So it's not an A plus game, but I will give him a B plus, and he is trending in the right direction. And, you know, watching the second half start, and it looked like the defense and the special teams were fully in the process of giving the game away. Like, that put extra pressure on Kenny to get it done on that drive when he did, and he absolutely deserves bonus points for that. And I will also say this, because I thought it was interesting how you brought up the morning show asking, is it okay if Kenny is never the best player on the team? As of right now, watching him as a rookie, he's the type of player that does need help around him, and he's not getting a whole lot of it, which is why I think the offense is not lighting the world on fire since he took over. But he looks like he could grow towards that. So I don't think there's a question that at some point he can become the best player on the team. We're just not there yet. He's the type of player that's
but
not
I'll ask you what I ran by
yet.
Chris. Who was the better player on the Steelers roster last night? Who had a better game than him?
Last night, I would rank him as the number one reason why they won. I would say last night, number one.
Well, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. Thank you, Jeff.
But is it the question the morning show is asking is global over many games, not over one game?
I know that, but now we're getting somewhere. Do you agree with that? Do you guys both agree with that statement that he was the biggest reason why they won the game last night?
Yes. Narrowly over Pickens, because the Pickens play, even though it's a first and 10, the big 35-yarder, which is a huge play in that game as well, is more Pickens than Pickett. But yes, I would say yes, he is. See,
yeah,
this is what the discourse has done.
There.
It's warped my damn brain. Saying something as simple as...
He was the reason why they won the game, and you're only giving
him
a
fault.
B.
It's your fault.
No,
you've warped me. I feel like I shouldn't be saying it like I'm trying to find a way to make you miserable, even though it is a very benign statement. The quarterback who played a solid game on the road and made some big plays down the stretch, yes, he is the reason they won the game.
I probably would have gone with the defense as a whole.
Actually,
if they were playing a better offense.
Hold on.
But they did keep Jonathan Taylor under wraps
hold
for the
on.
Most part.
Oh, no. What?
Hold on.
What?
I can trot out a Mulsey classic that our guy Robin North for Sales would probably know well. You can also say that the Colts, with that hideous fumble deep in Steelers territory, that the Colts' incompetence is the real chief reason they
see,
won.
See, but that...
That Jeff Saturday's, forget about Tomlin-esque, Mike Tomlin wishes that, on his worst day he could butcher timeouts like Jeff Saturday did.
That's the bigger problem, I think. The fumble play, they got the ball right back, and they scored a touchdown. So the fumble thing, to me... looked like it was going to be a big backbreaker play, but really, I don't think
it
ended
still,
up being
you
one.
You can still say it could have been two touchdowns. They score there, get the ball back, score again.
Yeah, but the Steelers are pinned deep, and the Colts get to start that subsequent position on a short field.
Do you know who I would say is actually the number two reason why they won the game? If we weight plays that happen in certain situations more heavily, Alex Highsmith. Because when Jeff Saturday is sitting there like an idiot, not calling timeouts. He has that third and short run to Taylor. Highsmith tracks that thing down from the backside. There was a hole there.
I agree.
It was a rushed call, but that's a Highsmith
big
play.
Here's why you can't say Highsmith had a better game than Pickett. They both made, both players had clutch plays in the fourth quarter. Kenny's drive, Highsmith on the last drive. Highsmith up until that point did not have a good game. He's going against a rookie third-round pick left tackle.
He had the better game of the two outside backers. Agreed. T.J. Watt was invisible
in
that game.
I agree with that.
That might actually be the strongest argument for... I wasn't saying Highsmith was more responsible. I am just gleefully playing devil's advocate to you. If the belief system for people who watch this team is they need T.J. Watt to be a star to win games, basically, going on the road and winning with him being completely invisible, I don't care if he was hurt or not. If he was healthy enough to go, he was healthy enough to make an impact, is a very good sign.
So...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.